One of the challenges that we have in a parable like this is our over-familiarity with it. Samaritan has become a name that is almost synonymous with Christian. There are charities dedicated to the Good Samaritan and soup kitchens and all kinds of good works that build upon the mercy and the love that is shown in this gospel parable. It really was brought to me just how stark and how shocking this is. Back when I was a university student doing economics at Sydney University, I did a couple of subjects in biblical studies. And one class, we had this special guest lecturer, a Jewish professor from the United States, was giving us a guest lecture. And he spoke on the topic of this particular parable. And he described the ordinary situation in Jewish society at the time, that of course the society was broken up into this threefold strata. There were the priests, a bit like the bishops now, or the bishops and priests, I guess. I've got to throw myself in there. And then there was the second level of society, the Levites, so maybe a bit like the religious that we have in our community, the brothers and sisters. And then there was the great community of the faithful, the people that were who would do all of the work, the ones who were there faithfully honoring and offering themselves to God. And he said, look, clearly when Jesus told this parable, it would have been that threefold structure that he had in mind. And the priest, of course, was dismissed, and the Levite was dismissed. But it would have been this good and faithful Jewish layperson who stepped up to the task, and he was the one that was the one who showed mercy and was able to faithfully fulfill this. And it really struck me that, no, of course, what Jesus said was not just an ordinary layperson. That would have been shocking enough. But he went one further, and Jesus always seems to take us one further. To understand why it's so shocking, we need to remember, well, who are the Samaritans? Samaria is that area kind of between Jerusalem in the south and then the Galilee in the north. Samaria was not necessarily all that unusual until the period after the destruction of the northern kingdom in the 7th and 8th century. When that fell, the Assyrians were brutal taskmasters, brutal military powers, and they inflicted such horrors upon the people. And one of the things that they did was when they conquered a community, they wanted to utterly destroy it, make sure that nothing ever arose on the bones that were left behind. And so one of the things that they did, particularly in that region of Samaria, is that they let some of the people return, but they also overpopulated it with people that they had conquered from other places. And so foreigners from all around the world, they kind of dumped them all in this great refugee camp. And the result of that was this intermarrying between all these different people, and the foreigners who came from other areas brought in their own understandings of religion and practice, and this whole syncretism kind of developed within that community. And so that is the reason that they were so despised, that they were still some Jewish kind of ideas, but mixed with a whole lot of other pagan worship and practices. And so the Jews despised them, it seems, because they were still like them. They accepted some of the scriptures, but not all of the scriptures. And so it was this sense of the cousins, you know, the people that are there, but you've had that family feud for generations, and you can't even remember the reasons for the feud back in the dim, dark past. But the animosity remains. And the fact that that Jewish professor, you know, 20 years ago was still just having that same animosity. He couldn't even allow Jesus to use a Samaritan as an example in a parable. He had to redefine it and redescribe it. And do you notice the lawyer at the very end of the gospel, when Jesus says to him, well, who was the one who showed mercy? Who was the one who proved himself to be the neighbor? And this Jewish lawyer wasn't even able to name the Samaritan. He didn't say, oh, well, I guess it was the Samaritan trouble. He said, the one who showed mercy. You know, how often is that the case with us? We can't even give a name to the person that we're struggling with, that we fight with. So how do we deal with this? How do we make sense of this in our own lives? It's in placing ourselves in that stream of God's mercy. John of the Cross has this beautiful saying where he says, if there is no love in a relationship or in a situation, a context, John says, well, put love there and you will draw out love. That's what we need to constantly do. We need to soak ourselves in God's love so that we have that reservoir that we're able to share with others, and then give that recognition that I need to be the one to put the love of God into that situation, into that place, and allow then the love of God to flow and multiply and be productive for the good of the whole situation. So let's indeed continue to pray that we will be good neighbors, that we will experience that joy and wonder of knowing God and allowing Him to call us more deeply into life today.